welcome to the Southern Fried Security Podcast. I am your host, Joseph Sicoli, and I am joined tonight by Mr. Breaking News himself, Mr. Steve Reagan. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
My mind is melted. I put words to the web, and the web exploded. It was weird.
Would you say you broke the internet?
I think I came close. I came close. I know I broke that story, though. That's all that matters.
So we'll get to that in a minute. First things first, a couple of quick housekeeping things. First off, you guys may have noticed that our releases have been a little spotty lately. Summer schedules are just kind of crazy, so we may be switching over to a every other week sort of recording. So keep your eyes posted. We'll just go as we have people to record. However, as fall rolls around, most of the cast should be back, including, I hear rumors of, Mr. Martin Fisher joining us again. But I'm making no promises.
Yay!
So
we missed him. We just can't quit him.
He tells us every time he's proud of us when we release an episode. So yeah, also
pride will change to murderous rage though the minute we do something really stupid. I'm just saying.
Well, probably.
He's proud now, but
also we are a month away from Vegas, from Security Summer Camp. There are rumors that I may be there. I may not. We'll see what happens, but I do have it on good authority that both Martin and Steve will be there.
I live in Vegas this time of year.
Yeah, pretty much. So obviously, you know, keep your ears open for announcements on that front. So I think that's all we had. Why don't we go ahead and just jump into the story that Twitter, oh my gosh, won't shut up about.
Did you hear the hacking team got hacked?
Yeah, so Steve, you broke the story on this, late last night, I guess? I caught up with it this morning over my cup of Sunday. Yeah, I caught up with it this morning over my cup of coffee. But so it seems that a team called Hacking Team, they're a company based in Italy, if I'm not mistaken. They are well known for a unscrupulous network monitoring or surveillance. Let me rephrase that. They are known for a surveillance technology. And they have been breached in a big way.
So it's called lawful interception. Basically, they create the tools that allow law enforcement and governments to spy on people. So it's legal espionage. Except it's not exactly legal, and it's pretty shady when you look at some of the details. But Hacking Team is one of those companies that security researchers and privacy advocates love to hate. They make software that is pretty perverse, actually. They have exploits and technology for pretty much every platform you can think of. And there isn't an instance to where they don't have something to get a target. So when you take that and combine it with the fact that they're a, quote, secretive company who claims to only do things the legal way, it makes, you know, privacy people curious, and they watch them like a hawk. So in 2014, Citizen Lab, they put out a report. And it turns out in a lot of countries that are known to be very hostile towards the populace in general and very hostile towards those who would seek social change or those of us in my profession, journalists, who would like to report on social change, Hacking Team technology has been located in these countries. So imagine a government such as, I don't know, let's say Ethiopia, that would punish journalists for actually being journalists. Well, how would they be able to track journalists and to get a hold of them and to find them and discover what they're working on or writing? It turns out Hacking Team technology was a part of that. Let's look at Egypt. Egypt had a pretty violent uprising, and Hacking Team technology was discovered there. The Sudan. Wait. So the Sudan is under an arms embargo, according to the UN. You're not allowed to sell things to them, including technology that could be used for hacking and, you know, any kind of detrimental surveillance, things like that. And so the UN went to hacking team and they're like, are you selling to Sudan? This report from Citizens Lab says you are. And hacking team says, no, we have no business dealings with Sudan. And the UN says, okay, you say you have no business dealings with Sudan, but this report says your stuff was there. Can you clarify, have you ever had business dealings with Sudan? And hacking team just kind of stopped answering questions, and now we know why. So when they were hacked on Sunday, the attacker put out 400 gigabytes worth of data taken from this company, which makes this incident larger than H.B. Gary completely. And part of the leaked documents, there's a contract here for the National Intelligence Service or National Intelligence and Security Services of Sudan. And it's from Hacking Team. The total cost of the contract is 480,000 euros, and that is only the first payment. That's the 50% that's required. And the contract is for remote control systems. For a company that's never had any business dealings with Sudan, that's an awful lot of money to just, you know, take out on a loan, I guess.
So
maybe this was just, you know, between friends.
So let me ask you this, Steve. There's been a lot of hullabaloo on Twitter about this, and obviously the internet's pretty much abuzz with it. It's pretty impressive how quickly people latched onto this particular this breach and, I guess, docs and leak. And it is impressive how quickly the dump has moved its way through. I've seen at least a handful of people digging through the dumps, including yourself. Why is that? Like, is this just kind of this was kind of a shady company doing some kind of shady things, and we like to see bad things happen to, you know, quote unquote bad people? Or, you know, what makes this such a big deal, I guess?
So on one level, you have a questionable company doing questionable things. Or if you want to, you know, turn it up a notch, you could say you got a bad company doing bad things. And it's a little bit of schadenfreude for that. You want to see the bad guys get punished. But whether or not you believe Hacking Team are bad guys is beside the point. What's really fueling this is the fact that their technology has been used by countries that Human Rights Watch has, you know, condemned for the way they treat their own people. And this company's helping the government do that by selling them the technology to make it easier to track your people, to spy on them. And then on top of that, you've got the fact that the company itself, with their secrecy, you know, that makes people want to see what's going on under the hood. You know, here's this secret company nobody ever really gets anything out of. Suddenly 400 gigabytes of internal stuff is just laying there on the web. It was a feeding frenzy last night. It was a literal feeding frenzy. Every 5 seconds, there was somebody putting up a new picture of some little tidbit of information that's coming out of these documents, and it's because it was all new, every bit of it. You know, it's one thing to find trace evidence of a tool in a country somewhere and say, hey, this is theirs. We know it's theirs. It's another thing to see, you know, not only does this tool exist, here's the last 5 versions of it, here's the source code for it, here are the contracts related to this tool in the countries we sold it to, here's our current customer list, here's our forecasted profit for the next fiscal year, here's our margin, here's our profit margin, here's where we like to spend our R&D, here's our salary cap, here's a copy of our passport, here's a copy of our internal security controls, here's our password list, here's our list of VPN services, here's, you know, and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. This is just literally, it's, you know, here's the man behind the curtain and everybody wants to stare at him. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that by and large, the public perception of this company is completely negative. So when you get a chance to see how they're doing things and to vindicate, you know, a lot of the flames and fire that have been spit at this company over the years, people latched onto that immediately. Mm. And for the most part, a lot of the negative stuff has been proven. You know, when they denied that they had no business dealings with Sudan, there's the contract. if they didn't do any business with Sudan, why are they taking their money? You know, you've got people in Ethiopia thanking them for their help in capturing or acquiring a high-value target. And they're proud of this guy. You know, congratulations on getting your high-value target. Yet Ethiopia has really bad human rights, you know, stances. They're horrible to their people, in particular journalists. And if you thought that, you know, anything was going to change, you were really wrong a couple of years ago. And the new government pretty much kept the status quo. And yet here's Hacking Team selling them the stuff that made tracking dissidents and tracking journalists easier. This is really powerful, actually, yeah. on a human rights side of things. Here's a company that has made it not just possible, but easy to track and follow and basically spy on your own citizens. Here's how they work. Here's where they're weak. Here's where they're strong. So this is what people are latching onto, and this is what they're following. That's why it's such a buzz right now.
Yeah, and I guess, yeah, that definitely makes sense. Now, by selling to Sudan and I don't know about Ethiopia necessarily, but possibly Russia, aren't they potentially in violation of some export treaties or export controls as well?
In some ways they are, but here's the thing. How do you prosecute them for that? How do you take them to task for this?
Right.
I mean, this information was made public because of a crime. So does that mean, you know, in Italy that there's no fruit of the poison tree type law? Does that apply in this case? That's stuff I don't understand. I've got questions and feelers out to legal types who do, but I haven't heard back from them yet. But one thing's for certain, the UN does have the authority to investigate deeper and to bring up questions. They can do hearings and things like that. And if I'm not mistaken, the UN would actually overrule what happens sanction-wise within Italy for this company.
Huh.
But I don't know. I don't know. I do not know for certain, so I don't want to say that that's a fact. It could be, but I could be wrong too. But I do know that it doesn't look good for them. And if there is legal repercussions, they are certainly going to feel the wrath because they flat out lied during a UN investigation or an inquiry.
Right.
And it's just never good policy to lie to the UN. That's just a bad idea.
So this is pretty much worst case scenario for any, pretty much any company ever. To have, you know, your full source code dumped, internal emails, invoices, etc. Like, it does not get more catastrophic than this.
So in one of the leaked emails, there is actually a discussion going on of how bad it would be if this company got hacked. And here's their own president going, man, if we got breached, it would be horrible. Think of all the bad things that would come out of it. And imagine if people actually saw the horrible things this... This happened. This was an actual discussion in his email that got leaked, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, I can't think of a worse scenario for a company like this. I mean, it's one thing to have like contracts leaked or some email spools taken. They were completely and utterly gutted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all out there. The joke earlier was that, you know, the Vassnar import-export thing going around, that technically, since all their source code has been leaked now, this is open source information. So they might not even have to qualify for it anymore. It's all open source now, thanks Jeez. To the GitHub that has everything. I mean, have you seen this? I mean, you go to the Hacked Team GitHub, and I mean, it literally is. It's on GitHub. It's everything. Their iOS stuff, their BlackBerry stuff, Symbian, Android, Windows Mobile, Linux, Windows, Android Native, you know, old anonymizer codes, got Mac OS in here, got various different Linux. One of the things I've been doing today is curating a lot of the research that researchers have been posting to Twitter and other places online. And somebody found a Flash exploit, a zero day, that works flawlessly in Chrome.
Really?
So all of their payloads and things, yeah, their payloads are being exposed right now. This is stuff they sell to governments for 50,000 euros a pop, and it's all just out there. So part of the – go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, have we seen a parallel like this? I mean, you mentioned H.P. Gary earlier, and I'm trying to think of another company that has really seen, like, this much stuff.
Nothing. So, no.
Do you
Gamma,
think...
Gamma International is another company like Hacking Team, and they've been hit as well. But Gamma International wasn't as thorough. And H.P. Gary had all the publicity, but not nearly as much content. In fact, the bulk of H.P. Gary was emails and PDF files and PowerPoint presentations. It was not this. So that had some substance, and it carried on for the hype value, but this is just pure content, and wow. I've never seen anything this big.
So pure Nothing. Speculation. You think they... do you think that this is a company-ending situation?
I don't know. I mean... I could see how they could spin it and recover from it, but I guess it would depend on how quickly they can alter what's been released, change the source code, and develop new payloads. I mean, their core product revolves around, you know, an infrastructure development package that enables a customer to deploy assets into the field. So that means, you know, I can crack a Windows mobile device, I can crack a Linux desktop, I can target Macs, I can target iOS, I can go after Android. You know, getting that out in the field, managing that, and then collecting all of the data and, you know, making use of what you're collecting. All of those parts of the infrastructure have been exposed and released to the public. So how do you recover from that? They would literally have to redevelop and repackage a lot of the stuff that they've been selling for years. So if they can do that, then they're not going to go away. They can spin out of this. But if they can't, they're done. I really don't see how they recover. Earlier today, they actually sent notices to their customers and told them to stop using the tools. They actually told them to stop everything. Do not use any of this. So they're anonymizing FTPs. Get out of those. Don't use them. Everybody knows where they are and what they are. The tools, don't use them. Everybody knows where they are and what they are. All of that stuff has been outed, and they actually went to their customers and said, stop. Just stop.
The thing that came to mind there, particularly from the business perspective, is that the loss of trust, particularly to some, to say the United States Department of Defense, for example, that seems like the loss of trust would be equally as catastrophic as the loss of product in their particular field.
So you're right, and I could see that being a big issue. But on the upside of that is, so we know that the FBI and the DEA are customers of Hacking Team, okay? We know what Hacking Team produces. We know what they gave to the FBI and the DEA. We know what the FBI and DEA have ordered and what they do and don't have. But here's what we don't know. We don't know the assets that the FBI and the DEA have put into the field, and we do not know who they're looking at or what they're targeting. So technically, neither one of them have to stop using any of these products, because none of us will ever be able to figure out what they're doing with it and where. That's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
So this really hasn't hurt any ongoing operations. So while there is trust lost, is it complete trust lost?
I see what you're saying.
Have they really lost? I mean, think about it. I mean, yeah, okay, you got popped. Man, that sucks. You're a security company. I trusted you. But none of my campaigns have been exposed, so really I'm still getting the value I paid for.
Right. It's just a question of kind of ongoing, ongoing maintenance agreements and things like that.
Yeah. What are you going to do to fix this so none of this stuff gets popped? What are you going to do to make sure that my assets remain my assets? If they could figure that out, again, that's a saving roll of the dice for them. They'd be able to recover from this. But it's all speculation at this point. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to them. I just know this is horrible. And really, if the Sudan thing is as big as it's being made out to be, they're hosed. There's no recovering from that. You lied to the UN.
Yeah,
you don't do that.
That's definitely going to be interesting to kind of keep an eye on going forward. Not to mention, you know, we also saw compromises of things like social media accounts and things like that. So, I mean, this is pretty complete.
T- Dude, the passwords that they were using are just unbelievable. One of them was like Wolverine. Like, Wolverine, really? I'm glad you're a mutant fan, but come on, dude. Seriously? Or my favorite was password. Capital P, A-S-S-W-0-R-D.
Oh, man, I got to go change my passwords now. Dang it.
Or to add some complexity, let's put an exclamation point at the end of that and maybe 1-2.
Yeah. Which, I mean...
Or, you know...
Yeah, that's pretty inexcusable. I was going to kind of say that maybe perhaps for like an internal lab environment or something like this, but those were actual on-customer site accounts
and
things like that.
Those were on-customer site, and more importantly, those were also some of the passwords taken from the Firefox password dump, which is why, by the way, Christian's social media accounts were all hosed. I mean... They had him from jump. There was no. I'm actually surprised he was even able to maintain his Twitter account as long as he did to make the threats that he did, because they had that from almost hour one. That was one of the first things that got circulated on Twitter, was his password dump. That's how they knew he had YouPorn all on his desktop. Because it was there. That was part of the cache that was cracked first and what was put out there. So, I mean, yeah, I'm surprised he was able to wake up and start making threats and stuff on the Twitters.
Yeah.
Which, that was amusing in its own right. You know, him going after Vis, saying, keep posting my passwords and you're going to jail. And I'm just like, really? How are you going to do that? That's an interesting statement right there, buddy. Or, don't download the torrent file because there's viruses in it. Yeah, you're a company that specializes in custom malware. I'm pretty sure there's viruses in that torrent file somewhere. If not, the source code to create them is equally available. You're not saying anything we don't already know.
Yeah.
And then he came out with it. It was only a matter of time. He came out with the fact, you know, all of that information's fake. They're telling lies. Yep. You're right. They faked a lot of contracts and put them in there. Okay. It's entirely possible. Sure. Mm-hmm. And they faked your financial statements, and they faked your fiscal quarters, and they faked your P&Ls. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They made all that up, bud. All righty. Sure thing. We're going to jump right on that and just stop. Let's all go home. It was literally a meltdown on Twitter. It was just, you couldn't look away.
Yeah, probably not a proper breach response by any means.
Somewhere a lawyer is in tears.
So I think we're going to wrap it up there. We did have one other story that I still want to get to eventually, but I know that Yvette also really wanted to talk about this one. So I guess we'll do that when she gets back from her vacation, hopefully. And I also have heard rumors that Andy Willingham may be getting maybe returning back shortly as well.
Hooray!
So he said something about vacation, but I thought he had a baby, and that doesn't sound like a vacation to me, so I don't know what he was talking about.
Maybe he's just started living in the garage. That is his vacation. He just stays there. When you have a newborn, there's no such thing as a vacation. Never. Never, never, never.
So I think that's as good a place as any to wrap up. So, Steve, if people wanted to read your breaking news and possible upcoming news stories or things along those lines, where would they be able to find you?
Find me on Twitter. I am SteveD3, and of course, I am one of the syndicated journalists on IDG, so you'll see me at csoonline.com, CIO, Network World, Computer World, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm always on Twitter. You will always find me on Twitter.
At all sorts of crazy hours. You can also find me on Twitter at jsicoli, and you can always feel free to reach out to the show Twitter account at SFS Podcast. You can find show notes for this episode, which is episode, if I'm not mistaken, 152, at southernfriedsecurity.com/152. And with that, we'll wrap it up. So good night, Steve.
Night, everybody.